So I think the risk of cell therapies is very dependent on where you get them done. So, you know, as a word of caution, I'm sure many of you have gone onto the web and looked up cell-based therapies for Parkinson's disease. And to my knowledge, you know, you can have a stem cell-based therapy for Parkinson's disease tomorrow. There are hundreds of clinics around the world where you can have these cell-based therapies, none of which have any scientific basis, all of which are designed to relieve you of a significant amount of money. So they, because it's recorded, I better just say that, you know, you have to be cautious if you actually go to any of these clinics. Now, some of these clinics have cell-based therapies which have the potential to turn into tumours. So there are case reports. There's a sad case of a child who had a rare neurological condition. He had a stem cell transplant, I think, in Russia, and developed a number of tumours and died. So if you go to places which do not have very strict guidelines and a scientific background to what they're doing, the risk of tumours is very real. In the case of stem cell transplants, this is obviously a major worry. So when embryonic stem cells were first developed, the worry was that because an embryonic stem cell can turn into any cell in your body, if I put it in your brain, even though I've told it to turn into a nerve cell, can I be certain it won't turn into any cell in my body? Well, nowadays the technology is there that that doesn't really happen. So this teratoma risk has been removed. That was then replaced by another problem, which was that when you took an embryonic stem cell, you turned it into a neural precursor cell, a cell that would turn into the cells of your brain. And so what would happen when you transplanted it, some of them would turn into dopamine cells, but a lot of the cells would say, well, I want to make a brain. So I want to make, you know, a big, big frontal lobe, which is terrific, but if you've already got a frontal lobe, it isn't very helpful. So this was a major problem. How do you persuade a cell that's doing nothing other than what it does normally not to do that? Well, nowadays the technology is there, certainly in these recent papers, that those so-called neuroepithelial cells, these cells which turn into the rest of the brain, have now been got rid of. So my own view is that the risk of tumours from an embryonic stem cell-derived source using the technologies which are out there at the moment are very safe, and the chances of tumours are really very small. I think the challenge for the field is whether the dopamine cells that are produced by that technology are really, really, really the same dopamine cells as you find in the developing fetus and in the human brain.
And Roger, presumably that on the same tack, that obviates the need for immunosuppressive drugs using this kind of technology.
Well, immunosuppressive drugs and cell-based therapies are a very interesting area because if you look at the human fetal transplant trials, then you could say two things. One is that human fetal tissue doesn't produce much of a response from your immune system. It's relatively benign. Your immune system ignores it to a large extent. But it won't ignore it totally. So although you put it in the brain where the immune system has great difficulty getting into it, one of the problems, of course, with a transplant is that you put... Normally your brain is protected because it has this blood-brain barrier. Of course, when you stick a blooming great needle into the brain to inject the cells, your blood-brain barrier takes a bit of a hit. So in the early stages, the immune system will get access to your transplanted cells. Now, we know that in the transplant trials, if you give people no immunotherapy, the cells will survive, but they tend to survive not as well as if you give people immunotherapy for a year or two. But the view is, and certainly in our transplant trial, is when we put the human fetal tissue into patients' brains, we will give them immunosuppression for 18 months to 2 years, and then we will stop it. So it will be completely different to organ transplants, where people remain on high-dose immunotherapy forever.
Right. Don't forget there's some roving mics as well. So if you're not able to access a mic, please just put your hand up, and we shall get a microphone to you. Sorry, there's a lady down at the front here. Sorry, in the blue cardigan.
Oops. Sorry. Sorry. I've heard that in Torino there is an expert for placebo in the whole world. I don't know if you know his name, but there is a man who's done enormous research on placebo effect. And he says he has the greatest success with placebo with Parkinson's. Can you say why?
Yeah, well, now there's an interesting question. Yep, so placebo effects are very interesting. So there was a very influential paper that was published 10 years ago by a group in Canada who showed that in patients with Parkinson's disease, when they were given placebo effect, when they were given a drug and had a placebo effect, that that placebo effect was associated with a release of dopamine in their brain. So that the reason why you get a benefit from a drug, even though it's a placebo, is because you release dopamine in the brain. Now, that study was an acute study. So you gave patients the treatment, you did the scan, you saw the difference. The opponents of cell-based therapies, or any of these therapies which I've talked about, will say the reason why patients have got better when I have given them cell therapies is in these open-label studies, by which I mean we all know what's going on. So you know you're having a cell therapy. I know you're having a cell therapy. So between us, we're going to make sure you get better. So I'm going to be a bit biased because I think you're a bit better. You're going to think you're better because you've got a placebo effect. And they would say that's what's driving the benefits that you see. My own view on that is that might be true, but that will only last for a given period of time. It seems to me implausible that people will have benefits of a placebo nature which lasts for years, which mean they end up taking no medication for their disease. So whilst I think placebo effects can be positive in Parkinson's disease, and you can improve to a degree through a placebo effect, the magnitude of that benefit is small compared to some of these other therapies that I've been talking about, which therefore work not by a placebo-based basis.